This episode of the Ticket Ripper Podcast is brought to you by Apple TV. You like apples, kid? How would you like to watch apples all the time? Apple TV. Oh! Welcome back. And if you're new here, welcome to the Ticket Ripper Podcast. My name, as always, has been Kamin, your humble ghost, the greatest ghost of all time, coming at you alive and well from somewhere in this area. Ooh, where am I? It's a vibe, baby. I don't know what that was. What's up, baby? It's been a long, long time since the last episode, hasn't it? That's a joke, because if you're watching the video podcast, you know Daddy's in the same shirt, which means Daddy's recording the same podcast at the same time. I'm vibing, dude. I'm chilling. I'm riding this wave of vibes. And we're talking about movies, because we've been watching movies. I've watched personally. I have been watching the movies, which is a joke that I do every single time because I think it's hilarious to talk like foreign people. I am watching the movies. The one movie that I have seen recently, and we're gonna kind of keep this Halloween-y vibe going because you're probably listening to this around the October area. The one of the movies that I've seen recently that I'm not going to lie to you, I kind of hated was Disney's new. And the reason I hated it was because of the fact that I was a big fan of the old one, which is normally how this starts. The Haunted Mansion. Obviously, if you're unfamiliar with The Haunted Mansion, it is a Disney ride. Which, one thing, let's just get that out of the way first. You should not make movies based on a theme park ride. Obviously, if the theme park ride is based on like a book or like comic book or something like that, fine. You get a little bit of a pass. But if you are literally making movies about theme park rides rather than making theme park rides about movies, there's something like mentally, clinically wrong with you. And I think that's what ended up having problems for me with this movie. I didn't like it, dude. It was funny at some points, but for the most part, it was dull. Especially when you have made this movie before. That's the thing about it. You've made this movie once before. This new one is called, Haunted Mansion. The old one, with Eddie Murphy, of all people, one of the greatest comedians of all time, mind you, and one of the greatest comedic actors of all time, mind you. And it's called The Haunted Mansion. And let me just tell you right now, it might be nostalgia, it might be just Eddie Murphy's performance, but this movie is it's impossible to overcome how good this movie is. I loved it. The ghosts were creepy, genuinely. It didn't feel like some Disney Channel, you know, poopoo caca. It didn't feel like, oh, we're using all these people that you are familiar with to ride on their coattails of popularity. It felt inspired. It felt real. It felt good. And that is everything that this new Haunted Mansion lacked. This new Haunted Mansion, let me just say it in the vernacular of the children. It was mid, bruh. This is the way, if you're the parent listening to this, this is the way that your children speak. I'm going to say this in the way that your children can understand. It was mid, bruh. This movie wasn't good. And I mean, that might be really rude to say about, you know, this movie that, you know, people worked on, and like, what's the budget on this thing? Because that's the thing about it. I would not say that this movie had a budget issue in the sense that it looked bad. Oh my God, $150 million. Hey guys, let's hire some writers. Yeah. I can see why the writers are striking now. This movie was terrible. For $150 million, I think I'd have been pissed about it too. How much did it make on its box office? Which, keep in mind, I am strongly in the realm of box office numbers are poo-poo caca. Box office numbers aren't real. People don't go to theaters anymore, so it's a bad thing to, you know, base it off of. However, one of the things that I found interesting about Haunted Mansion is right now, we haven't even gotten... Okay, we are not even close to Halloween yet. It is the 22nd on the day that I'm recording this. And for some reason, this movie, of all movies, released... Let's see when this movie released on. This is a movie called The Haunted Mansion. There are ghosts. There are spooky people. There is Lakeith Stanfield, or whatever his name is. This movie about a haunted mansion titled Haunted Mansion released. You would imagine that movie, that it'd be a good idea to release that movie around Halloween, right? Maybe, you know, families who don't want to go to haunted houses or anything like that, they want to go to a Haunted Mansion movie screening. They released this movie in July, bro. We haven't even Oppenheimer'd yet. We haven't even Barbie'd yet. And you're releasing a movie about haunted mansions in July? I don't know who is like in charge of all this at Disney. You're an idiot. And then even on streaming, we released that October like 4th. I've got something to tell you. You're a moron. Who the hell releases a Halloween movie in July, dude? Like, at least in October, like, that made a little bit more sense. But, like, Jesus Christ. Like, let's look at The Nightmare Before Christmas. Let's look at its stats here. And if you ever want to get stats on a movie, you can go on imdb.com see that there. Jesus Christ. $18 million for The Nightmare Before Christmas, which is really saying something about a stop-motion movie. We really have to pay stop-motion, you know, animators more. $81 million gross, $191 opening weekend. Oh my God. The Nightmare Before Christmas only made $191,000 on opening weekend. If you're unfamiliar with how numbers work, that's a flop, dude. The Nightmare Before Christmas was a flop, dude. When did it release? This is like one of the peak like Halloween movies, I would say. Other than Halloween, obviously, the movie series, which we'll take a look at here in a second of when they're released. This episode is just going to be about, like, hey, when should you release movies about ghosts and stuff? October 29th, 1993. Genius. You know, it's a Halloween movie. It's called The Nightmare Before Christmas. It's about some dude with a skeleton head. When are we going to release that? The 24th? No, idiot. We're going to release that before Halloween, you prick. And now I just called people pricks. I'm not sure if I can say that. That might be explicit. Sorry, children, if you're listening to this. Halloween, the movie, which is, you know, titled Halloween, obviously, you moron. It released, let's see, box office of... the budget was $325,000, which, to be fair, back in the 70s when this movie released originally, was a lot. Gross worldwide, $47 million. I don't know what that number really means, like what they're basing that off of. So I'm going to say that, I mean, just based on how much money it's made over the years, I'm going to say that it was not a flop. But Halloween released... I know it was 1978, because I just looked it up. It released, where is the number for the release? Wow, dude. Release date, October 27th, 1978, United States. It's genius. When you make a movie about ghosts, you release it in Ghost Time. One movie that I've watched recently that is, like, I would say, like, probably a movie that a lot of people are going to be seeing for the Halloween season, which also released at a dumb time because it released way too early, was The Exorcist Believer, which, if you don't follow me on Instagram, you should. You can follow me at The Great Bambino, T-H-E-E, great, spelt how it's, you know, spelt, Bambino, B-N-B-I-N-O. Normally I post there on my story, of, like, you know, what I thought about certain movies that I go watch or anything like that. I've recently seen The Exorcist Believer. I've recently seen, Dumb Money, which I loved. I thought it was fun. I thought it was good. But The Exorcist Believer, the reason I want to talk about that a little bit more is because, you know, obviously it is, you know, spooky season. So we got to talk about, you know, scary movies. So for spooky season, I went to go watch The Exorcist Believer, and I'm just going to give you my thoughts on it real quick. I thought it was decent. I definitely think it could have been way scarier. I think that, you know, maybe the Insidious movies and, like, the James Wan verse, has probably ruined me in the sense of, like, you expect, movies that, you know, try to jump scare you a lot now. Whereas, movies like The Exorcist, even the original Exorcist, it was never that. It was always just a movie to, like, disturb you with what you were seeing on the screen of, like, the concept of, child being possessed by a demon, what that would look like, what that would feel like. And they really try to, you know, make you feel that a little bit more. When it comes to The Exorcist Believer, they play with that quite a bit. One thing that surprised me a lot about The Exorcist Believer was how much faith, how much it had to say about faith, in the movie itself. Which was interesting to me because I'm like, I'm walking into this movie like, hey, I'm going to see some people puke some green puke in it. I'm going to see some people go crazy. And then fast forward to when I'm watching it and it's just like people talking about, like, you always wanted me dead. Now you got to make the choice you should have made when my mommy died. Oh, brother, get over it. Which is a terrible thing to say. That was one of the things that I didn't expect is for The Exorcist to have such a, you know, strong message on faith, which I liked. I thought it was good, but at the same time, if you are thinking of, you know, going to see a movie that's really going to, like, torment you, it definitely isn't that, which is strange. But here's the thing about it. I don't think that I'm as pissed about the release date of it because of that. Because, you know, if you release it around Halloween, people are going to go watch it and they're going to watch, you know, they're going to be thinking, oh, I'm going to get all scared. I'm going to watch it. This movie released October 6th, which is way early. Like, you're talking like weekends. October 6th is 1, 2, 3 weekends. Three whole weekends before the 31st. So, like, you're just, like, beefing it on, like, timing. And for some reason, that's the same thing with a lot of scary movies. Like, the thing about scary movies now is, like, you don't want to compete with movies that are releasing at the same time. The Nun, I found that strange that they were releasing that so early in front of Halloween, because I would say if there was any movie this year that was going to just absolutely dominate the box office on Halloween weekend, it would have been The Nun. But at the same time, I don't know anything about anything. Maybe there's that. Let's see. What other movie did I watch? There was a movie that I watched recently called Cobweb, if you haven't seen, Cobweb is a movie starring Lizzie Caplan. Sorry, I'm on my IMDb and I'm, like, seeing everything that's going on. So I kind of get distracted sometimes. Like, for some reason, I'm just trying to look up Lizzie Caplan. Oh my God, I'm just trying to look up Lizzie Caplan and Cobweb. I don't need to know about Adam Driver being Ferrari, Enzo Ferrari, okay? Lizzie Caplan was in a movie with Anthony Starr recently. It's called Cobweb. It released in this year. And it's a scary movie. I would say that for the most part, it does have some pretty good scares in it. I thought it was, you know, enjoyable until the end. The end of it kind of beefed it a little bit for me, honestly. It looks like this released October 20th, which is good. That's a good time to release it. That's like, you know, early enough on Halloween that you can get, you know, because it released on, I want to say it released on streaming. I don't think it really came out in theaters, but that's early enough on the Halloween that, you know, people are watching it, gives them time to watch it, but also gives people something to watch on, like, you know, the Halloween spooky era. But yeah, I think that building up to the ending, it was very good. And then the ending flopped a little bit for me. So if you're ever going to watch it, I would say, you know, just keep that in mind, is that it's a very, it's really well done, and it's executed very well in the beginning half, or in the beginning, you know, three quarters of it. But the last act of it is just kind of beefy. It just beefs it for me a little bit. Okay. The one movie that I would say that you should defo watch, which I liked a lot, again, the way ending, like the final piece of it was fine for me. I'm okay with it. The very ending was fine, but the movie itself really got me. And here's, if you got to know something about your boy, I don't get got by movies, okay? I pride myself on not being able to get got by movies. This movie got me. Multiple times when I was watching this movie, I was unexpectedly like really just like it really scared me. It spooked me quite a bit. I've watched a lot of movies when it comes to, like, you know, jump scary movies or anything like that. So I know what to expect. I know when you're, you know, trying to play me. This movie, like, its timing is immaculate, because I could not, like, even though I was like anticipating it, I could not anticipate the jump scares. I think it released way too early. It released way before Halloween, which I always think, like, scary movies, you need to release them around Halloween. It's called The Boogeyman. It is on Hulu right now. So you can go watch it there on streaming. But you have to watch it in the dark. And I honestly, like, this is definitely one I would recommend. It's like, you know, those movies where, like, little kids, they see things and, like, they play around with it and, like, they think it's, like, so innocent. And, oh, this is Toby. He's my friend. Oh, God. This isn't one of those. This is like, oh, this dude's a freak, dude. And none of my family members believe me. That's what this is. And you gotta go take a look at it, because I think it's good. Have I been talking about anything for the past like 30 minutes? I don't even know. The Bogeyman. I am watching the movie The Bogeyman. I think it's based on a Stephen King book. It's the same thing that you've seen 1,000 times. You know, a little kid gets haunted by some entity. Maybe they have an older sister. Maybe they have a dad. And the dad or the older sister didn't believe them. But even though they, you know, start experiencing some things. And it's kind of crazy. But the little kid is about to get, like, eaten or some stuff. And then the family finally finds out. And they have to save their child. And so they, like, you know, do some crazy stuff. Maybe there's a basement. It's the whole nine, dude. Halloween movies, dude. But this, of all the movies that I've seen recently, this and The Nun 2, Two Nun, Two Nunnius, are my favorites. Wow. What are we even talking about anymore? Oh, I've seen the most recent Scream movies. I call them Stream movies because I watch them on streaming. So the most recent Scream movies with Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega, they're fine. You know, that's exactly what you expect from a slasher movie. Like, story-wise, it's meaningless. The villains are always cringe. Here's the thing I have to say about the villains in both of the Scream, Jenna Ortega Scream movies. why are the villains so, like, cringe? Why are they always just like, and this is going to make the perfect movie? It's like kids who want to act. It's like people who want to act cool because they think that stabbing somebody is cool. And it just comes off as like, it's really cheesy. It's cheap. For some reason, they think that I could give a crap about... Hey, here's the thing about it, man. If you watch the new Scream movies and you care that Neve Campbell or Courtney Cox are in it, let me just... Or even David Arquette. Let me just tell you right now, you're the worst part of society. If you watch a movie and you're like,
I really wish that the people from the old ones were in it.
You're an idiot and you're ruining movies for us. The worst part of either of these movies, Scream, you know, what I don't even know what it's called, Scream or Scream VI, which doesn't make sense to me because the last one that they made was called Scream, right? The first Jenna Ortega movie was called Scream, right? That's what I thought it was called. It's called Scream. And then they make the next movie with Jenna Ortega in it called Scream VI. You want to tell me a little... if somebody wants to fill me in just a tiny bit, just a tiny itty bitty little bit on how the hell that makes sense, I'd be very, very, very thankful, because I have no clue how any of that makes any sense whatsoever. Like, how do you go from Scream 1, non-numbered Scream, to Scream VI? You know what VI means? If you do, tell me. Because I don't know Roman numerals. I'm fully convinced the reason that Hollywood is so obsessed with Roman numerals is because they know that it confuses us. VI, V is 4, right? And then VI is going to be 6. 5? V is 5? I don't know anymore. What, 1, 2, 3, okay. 1, 2, 3, which is the three eyes. IV, which is 4. V, which is 5. And VI, which is 6, which doesn't make any sense. Any sense. Let's make 4, I don't know, something dumb like N. 4 is N, okay? We're going to call it N now. Not IV, and VI is 6 now, or VI is 6 apparently. So this is the 6th movie, which, how accurate is that? Can we talk about that real quick? How many Scream movies are there? Let's go back. Let's see. Scream 2, Scream 3, Scream 4, the movie called Scream, starring Jenna Ortega, and Melissa in the whites, and then Scream IV or VI, which is 6 apparently. So let me ask you a quick question. Scream VI is the 6th movie in the franchise, right? Yeah, it is. Cool. So then you tell me, why is the 5th movie in the franchise called Scream? That doesn't make any sense to me. You know it doesn't make any sense. So why the hell are we going? I don't know why I'm so caught up. I don't know how long I've been talking about the numbers in the titles of the Scream movies. But it doesn't make any sense, and you're stupid for naming it that. That's all I'm going to say. I'd rather watch Adam Driver be Ferrari, Enzo Ferrari, than watch a movie that is supposed to be numbered the way it is, but isn't. So, like, maybe not. Okay? I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I'm watching scary movies, baby. I am watching the scary movies. I have a pen in my hand and I'm just clicking it. What was I saying? We lost track of this, dude. We lost track of this completely. We're talking about scary movies. We're talking about Halloween movies, about how Five Nights at Freddy's is going to be releasing soon. When is Five Nights at Freddy's releasing? Let's see. Five Five? Okay, let's type. Five Nights at Freddy's is going to be... And the Five Nights at Freddy's is going to be releasing on October 27th. That's what I'm talking about, baby. See, this is what I'm talking about, baby. What's their name? Blumhouse? They know what they're doing, dude. Let's take a look at Blumhouse. Oh, we're going to take a look at what Blumhouse has been doing recently on their stuff. But first, I want to talk about a movie which is not necessarily scary. However, if you like feral, like possession movies, The Pope's Exorcist is wild. It's that is the word that I can use to describe it. It is feral, dude. It is a ride. I liked it. Genuinely, I did like it. I don't think that it was incredibly written. I don't think that, horror movies aren't, and I'm saying horror because I don't want to say horror on the podcast, even though I just did, because my mom listens to this. But horror movies normally, they tend to not be, incredibly written or acted out. This has got Russell Crowe in it. It's a possession movie. It is crazy. It's cranked up for sure. Do I believe that April 14th of 2023 was a terrible time to release it? Yeah. I think that if you released this around Halloween, people would have gone to watch it a lot more. $18 million budget estimated. Its opening weekend did $9 million. You shot yourself in the foot, my guy. People want to go see scary movies in the spooky season, you stupid idiot. So The Pope's Exorcist, I liked it. I thought it was good. You gotta go watch it. Let's take a look at what Blumhouse has been doing recently. Blumhousemovies.com, Blumhousemovies.org, Blumhouse. Oh my god, I can't type. Blumhouse Movies. I just typed in Blumhouse Movie. Blumhouse Movie. I am watching the Blumhouse movie. Let's see. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Insidious: The Red Door released. Haven't seen it. I want to watch it. Maybe I'll do that tonight. Megan. They Them, which is on Peacock, which if you pay for Peacock, you're an idiot. The Black Phone. That was fine. All films. Benji. What the hell? It's the movie about the dog. Why did they... Who asked for a Benji movie made by Blumhouse, dude? Dude. Oh, my God. Blumhouse makes everything. Whiplash? What the hell? Dude, I'm never going to look this up again in my life. Why the hell is Blumhouse making every movie on the face of the earth? Let's see. I have to look up Blumhouse recent movies. Blumhouse... Movies 2023, there we go. Five Nights at Freddy's, The Exorcist Believer, okay. Totally Killer, which just released, haven't seen it. There's Something Wrong with the Children, haven't seen it. It's on Amazon Prime, probably a piece of junk. The Unseen, okay. Speak No Evil. So let's talk about the first three. So the first three movies are known. Totally Killer has like some, I think it's actually like a big thing. It has some merit to it, actor wise and writing wise probably. But here's the thing about it. Like The Red Door released in way too early. I'm gonna tell you right now. I don't know what's wrong with these people. Obviously, in the case of The Red Door, they probably didn't want it to interfere with The Nun. They probably didn't want to interfere with, like, because that's the thing about it. Like, if your box office is competing with other people's, like, movies, you're going to lose. But also, you're just not going to have as great of an opening weekend. Let me tell you right now, judging by the numbers, The Red Door did... God, I got to watch this movie. What the hell? Insidious: The Red Door, which is the fourth, I want to say, movie in the Insidious franchise. $16 million is the budget, okay? Which is, I mean, we'll decide if that's good or not. Next episode is about the Insidious: The Red Door. I'm going to go rent it right now. You think I won't? You're an idiot. $16 million. Opening weekend was $33 million. That's the best box office release I've seen in a minute. Keep in mind... This is the same studio that made Benji. Which is my name. I gotta go watch that, I guess. Here we go, baby. We're gonna binge the Insidious movies. I think I've recently just seen this first one, but yeah, spooky movies are crazy, dude. Like, especially when they decide to release in the middle of the summer. Because, like, here's the thing. I get it. People want to watch scary movies all the time. You can't really release movies, like, you know, individually all over the place. But at the same time, like, bro, you got to release your movies in the Halloween area. Because otherwise, why the hell am I going to go in the middle of July to go see a movie about some kids getting possessed, dude? You're an idiot. I want to watch that movie when it's dark, when it's cold. I want to watch that movie at 10. You know, honestly, scary movies should limit themselves to only having releases, like times, like show times, at nighttime, so that when I get out, it's dark and I'm scared and the walk to my car is a nightmare. But no, unfortunately, like, you would probably save yourself on box office, like, budget. But no, unfortunately, you want to release in the middle of July at noon, where the only person who's going to watch it, I kid you not, 90% of the movies that I go watch in theaters, I'm the only dude in there. I get to watch all of these movies that I've talked about by myself, eating popcorn in a 120-person theater by myself. Obviously, it's the Dolby, because IMAX is canceled, baby. Dude, I had tickets for Killers of the Flower Moon today for IMAX. I canceled the hell out of those tickets, dude. So, yeah. Sorry. Daddy had to go take a leak. Yeah, dude. Scary movies are strange, but they're so enjoyable, aren't they? Scary movies are weird, because why would I want to be scared? Why would I want to be constantly, repeatedly scared over the course of a couple of hours? And then, better yet, why would I want to constantly, over and over again, be scared again and again? Like, oh, past those couple of hours, why would I want to go watch more scary movies and then be scared again and again? It doesn't make sense. However, it makes perfect sense. You, me, everybody involved in scary movies, we're looking for stimulation. We're looking for something to bring life in any sense back to us. There is a part of us that is missing. There's a part of us that is hurting inside. And we need something to reinvigorate that part of us. Maybe you live a really comfortable lifestyle and you need to escape from that really comfortable lifestyle and just feel afraid for your life. Maybe you live a very sheltered lifestyle. Maybe you live a very tame lifestyle where you can't allow yourself to, you know, think about certain darker elements in the world. And you want to escape that for even just a moment, just a couple of hours. And so you watch scary movies. Maybe something in your life is preventing you from feeling joy. Maybe something in your life is preventing you from allowing yourself to let go. And so scary movies are what breaks you open, cracks you like an egg, and makes you feel real emotions to fear for your own life, even from a silver screen. Maybe you want to feel something. And that's okay. It's okay to want to feel something. It's okay to want to experience something outside of your normal life. It's okay to want to be invigorated. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. You have the right. You have the power to decide what you want to do with your life. To decide what kind of a person you want to be. Are you a good person? Are you a bad person? Are you a person who watches scary movies? Are you a person who watches movies made by Roman Polanski, which would make you a bad person? Are you? That's all I can think about now. What kind of a person do you want to be? I'm going to tell you right now, whatever, I want you to think that in your head right now. What kind of a person, think that to yourself, what kind of a person do I want to be? And then I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are welcome here. Whoever that person is, you are welcome here. You are supported here and embraced and loved here in the cult. You are a child of the RIP now. That doesn't just mean, oh, I listened to this podcast. No. You are a child of the... Let me say it slower. You are a child of the RIP now. You have brothers and sisters, family, fathers, uncles, mothers, grandmothers now who love you, who accept you. You are a child of the RIP. We only call ourselves a cult because we're violent. But other than that, we're super normal. You belong here. You are accepted here. You're perfect the way you are, unless you hurt people. In which case, you shouldn't do that anymore. You should look inward as to why you have an inclination to do that. And hurting people looks like more than what you think it does. Look inward. Look at your life choices and your lifestyle. How do I hurt other people? And if you can find some way, fix it. Make it right. Because we all belong here. But some of us just have a little bit of work to do, but regardless, we're here for you. I'm here for you. I love you. You have been listening. You have been listening to the greatest podcast of all time, hosted by the greatest podcast host of all time. My name has been Benjamin. You can follow me and you can keep track of me on any of my social media platforms. Not Twitter anymore, or X as they want to call it, because I refuse. I refuse to be a part of that scum of a media platform. Not because I'm like cool or because I want to seem better than you. But because I just can't with that dude. I can't with that dude anymore. Listen, bro. Somebody at some point told you you're cool. You're really not. And somebody, and I believe this with every part of my heart, somebody really tells you, who needs to tell you that you're not cool. You're a nerd. You're lame. The only interesting thing about you is that you have money. Everybody around you only likes you because you have money. Oh my God. That's bullying. But here's the thing about it. And I've said this before, and this is a super controversial thought. Some people need to be bullied. But some people have too much power to be bullied. But they are the ones who... Bullying can save lives. Bullying can save our country. But we have to... It's a weapon. Bullying needs to be used against the right people. And it never has. It never has. My name is Ben Cumming. Again, you've been listening to the greatest podcast of all time. Hands down. And this is me, personal opinion. Greatest podcast of all time. Benji approved this podcast, greatest podcast of all time. Not this one episode in specific. This podcast as a whole is the greatest podcast of all time. And you've been listening to it. How privileged. What a privilege is that to listen to the greatest podcast of all time for free. For free. Ad free. Just free. I don't know if anybody's putting ads on this. I don't care. But you've been listening to it. And that means a lot to me. That means a lot to our family. To the podcast. I love you. And you should love yourself. No matter what. Unless you hurt people. In that case, I hate you. Unless you hurt people. Bye. Follow me on everything. Watch the video podcast if you like that. I'm gonna miss you. Until the next one.